This is Atenea Americana.
Atenea Americana.
Atenea Americana.
A window to the Latin universe.
Stanford 90.1 FM.
Radio Atenea Americana.
This is
Atenea Americana.
Bilingual house of culture on the air and online.
Radio
Atenea Americana.
Su casa de la cultura en la radio y online.
Para la radio 90.1 KCSU Stanford.
I am Isabel Jubes.
Isabel Jubes. Bienvenidos.
Atenea Americana.
Welcome. Bienvenidos.
From Stanford to the world.
Today, I'm talking with Frank Carvajal, founder and president of Es Tiempo LCC, founder of the Silicon Valley Latino Summit, and co-author of Building the Latino Future, Success Stories for the Next Generation. His company, called Es Tiempo, provides leadership development by bringing leaders together through business mentorship and annually through the Silicon Valley Latino Leadership Summit, or SVLLS. The summit happens every year at the Stanford University campus, and the main goal is to connect and inspire the community towards entrepreneurship and leadership. Carvajal also developed what he calls the Future Framework Leadership Model as part of his consulting and educational business. The Future Framework helps companies and organizations build their employee resource group, allowing people to gain best practices perspective while integrating leadership into the work. Carvajal and his wife work on the summit every year, choosing the best leaders and role models to talk at the summit, and have been doing so since 2010. On 2016, it added a Shark Tank-style presentation by startups that got advice and access to investors and collaborators. Today, we will talk about Carvajal's career and about his products and the annual summit. Remember that this and all our shows are at StanfordHispanicBroadcasting.org, and that you can reach this and all our shows in any of the podcast platforms and follow us on our social networking sites. Stay with us.
We are in Atenea Americana, and today our guest is Frank Carvajal. He is today visiting us here at a station in Stanford University.
And today we're going to learn a little bit more about him and about all the efforts that he does on teaching about entrepreneurship and leadership.
Thank you, Isabel, for having me, and it's a pleasure to be here at Stanford University.
Yes, you are very connected with Stanford. You come every year and organize this huge enterprise that is the Latino Entrepreneur Summit.
Yes.
You also are very involved in a lot of the entrepreneurship that is going on around Stanford. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So with my initial connection with Stanford University is in terms of my book, Building the Latino Future, Success Stories for the Next Generation, that was published in 2008, I began to form a collaboration with HispanicNet. And HispanicNet is based on entrepreneurs that mentor not only millennials, but folks specifically in the tech sectors. Mm-hmm. So with those two folks that I connected with, well, three, Roberto Medrano, who's a co-founder of HispanicNet, Margarita Kiwis, the chairman of HispanicNet, and Michael Lopez, the president of HispanicNet. And two of them are interviewed in my book, Building Latino Future, Margarita and Roberto. And in 2009, Margarita asked me to be the keynote speaker for the HispanicNet annual dinner. And at that dinner, they really not only were intrigued by my passion for Latinos in the entrepreneurial sector, but they knew that I had a passion for lifting and helping our community. So in 2010, I had this idea of creating the Silicon Valley Latino Leadership Summit. And the initial conversation started with Graciela Tescarino Sato, mm-hmm. who is a person who I feel close to because I inspired her to finish her book, Latinovating. And she and I had a conversation over coffee. And I said, you know, if I could get a book done, definitely Graciela could. So with that conversation I had with Graciela, I also had really intensive conversations with Michael Lopez and Margarita Kiwis, who are alums of here at Stanford. And so I had asked if I were to create this leadership summit and the initial summit at Sand Hill Road, would they be behind it? And of course, without question, they were. And the first panel was comprised of Margarita Kiwis as well as Roberto Medrano. So the first annual summit on Sand Hill Road, better known as the venture capital mecca of the globe, was sold out. And Michael Lopez approached me and he says, you know, Frank, you should really have it at a bigger venue and mm-hmm. a venue that that you've been to, which is the Stanford Faculty Club. And with that, I've experienced being a keynote at the Stanford Hispanic Net Dinner, as well as understanding the business climate and the folks that show up. And so I had my second annual leadership summit at Stanford Faculty Club. And just this past May, we celebrated our seventh annual. And one of the folks that I'm very, of course, grateful to is my wife, Molly Carbajal, who you met, yeah. who is very supportive of not only my efforts, but the vision that I have with the Leadership Summit. The vision, of course, is based off the book, Building the Latino Future, and the platform is really based off the book because in today, with social media, unfortunately, not all millennials go to a Barnes & Noble as we used to or Border Books because they've closed to read books, leadership books. So they either get them on Kindle or you know, do some research and don't take the time traditionally to read, you know, a lot of these books. So I wanted to bring the experience to real life, to millennials as well as current leaders that want to really accelerate their position, whether it's in the tech sector, nonprofit, education, or various STEM positions. And what I mean by that is I bring together folks that have touched other lives of other Latinos that are not into it for just profit, but into it for meaningful relationships. What I mean by meaningful relationships is sustainable mentoring relationships that are reciprocal, that, you know, a mentee could call a mentor from the summit and say, I have this business idea, or I have an idea to challenge my current director for a promotion. How could I do that? So I think it's important as a Latino creator of a summit to make sure that not only am I accountable, but for the folks that I invite to the summit are accountable to be accessible.
Thank you for listening to Atenea Americana, your house of culture in the radio and online. In this bilingual show, I bring you every week 1 hour in English and 1 hour in Spanish, opening a window to the cultural Hispanic world. You can hear in the intro and at the final of the show, as well as right now, music from the legend of Latin jazz, Oscar Hernandez. This and all my shows are in StanfordHispanicBroadcasting.org, where I wait for your comments. I invite you to be part of this. Today, we are talking with Frank Carbajal, founder of Tiempo LCC and creator of the Silicon Valley Latino Leadership Summit.
I see, but I also see that your career previously had also focused on this, about teaching entrepreneurship and about teaching leadership. And somehow you have been moving towards teaching the Latinos. it came from before, from your previous experience.
Yes, and you know, one of the things that started off with, I know that as a Latina and a Latino with our family traits, it's inherent in us as kids that entrepreneurial spirit lies within us. Whether it's a small mom and pop store to a mid-sized company, I think one of the things that is important to focus on is really looking at our community that's unbanked, for example, unbanked whether there's not angel investors or venture capitalists or reputable banks that are providing either loans or investments to these small startups, mm-hmm. to understand that that we have the innovative spirit, we have the creativity more so than many other cultures, I would say, because we really have such a rich culture in terms of our diversity and in terms of our diverse culture. I made sure, for example, when I wrote the book Building a Latino Future, that I didn't only interview Mexican-Americans, Tex-Mex folks from the United States that are first, second generation, but I interviewed folks from Central America, South America, the Dominican Republic, other parts of our heritage that make up the Latino fabric, if you will. Yeah. And I think it's very diverse and very rich. So with that, I think we pull from all areas in order to understand that the creativity is there, the innovation is there, but what needs to be there is the backing. And so it's important for folks like myself through having the summit here at Stanford, the innovative place, to reach out to individuals like your SLA, like your Hispanic Nets, like High Tech, who were at the summit, or nonprofit organizations like Hispanic Scholarship Fund, to make sure that there is support in our community, mm-hmm. whether it's through banking or through scholarships. First, it also starts with scholarships. It has to start with education, yeah. in order to have that that idea formed, not only formed, but identified through a mentor. And once it's identified, then a mentor could help along the way. Mm-hmm. And then when that person has graduated, that is where the rubber needs to hit the road, because after graduation, we need to stay connected with individuals that have made it, Latinos that have made it. That is the most important element for success in terms of making sure that innovation is visible in the United States.
So you had a very interesting lineup every year, and normally are very impressive guests. They are leads of big companies. They are leads of newspapers. I saw this year you also have a lot of journalists, a lot of small and big entrepreneurs, small scale and big scale entrepreneurs. Can you tell us a little bit about the guests that you had already in your summit?
Sure. So one of the things, Isabel, that I make sure that's important is that I pull folks from various industries, whether it's nonprofit to the political arena, to entrepreneurship, to companies that have directors, to senior executives, to the summit. Why it's important to invite them as panelists and speakers is because as Latinos, we make up 54 million in the United States. However, in terms of those 54 million, sadly, 11% have bachelor's degrees, mm-hmm. and 3% master's, and maybe 1.5% PhDs. Mm-hmm. And with these numbers that are staggering behind in terms of education, I want to make sure that individuals that are invited as guests and speakers or keynote speakers are from the background of industries that, whether it's, as I mentioned, working for a Fortune company or working as a nonprofit leader or a political leader, that individuals in the audience understand that in order for us to increase those numbers as being on the competitive edge, we need to really connect with individuals in the room. So I really meticulously look at who I invite as speakers to the summit, because I want to make sure that at the end of the day, credibility is not only everything, but it's everything in terms of a future leader as well.
Yeah, and being role models, not anyone can be.
That's a great point. I mean, role model is so important. I think to answer the piece of a role model doesn't have to be a person that makes multi-millions of dollars. It depends on how that person has made their money. And if a person, for example, is an educator that makes less than $100,000 a year, but they've made so much of an impact in their community, that's much of a role model than a person that's made $10 million that hasn't really impacted their community.
How long have you been doing the teaching and the classes for entrepreneurship?
Well, that's a good question. So as far as the Leadership Summit, I've incorporated just this summit that you attended was Latino Shark Tank type of platform, where I called it an Es Tiempo Tank. You know, it's time for Latinos to be invested in because of their great ideas, great innovative ideas. So this was just the first one that that you experienced. And I think what's important is I want to mention is one of the individuals that that provided their pitch that day, it was phone to app, was funded a couple of millions of dollars in the first round of their funding. Mm-hmm. And so I think one of the things that was very much an honor is to understand that I established that relationship between the investor and the entrepreneur.
And as you mentioned before, your wife is also a big part of the whole machine that makes this summit. Mm-hmm. She also works for you?
No. She worked with the county of Santa Clara. She is a person who is just passionate about helping her husband with a dream. So, no, she has her own business. In fact, at home, she's my boss. So, no, she's a great person that is really passionate about helping the Latino community. In fact, one of the things that we do often is brainstorm in terms of what is critical for our community. And Molly Carbajal was the one that said, you know, we should really incorporate a STEM for Latinas as part of the summit. As you witness, we chose 15 Latinas that are not only doing incredibly well academically with 4.0 plus GPAs, but more importantly, they live in a community of the Central Valley where resources are really hard to come by. And what they do is they take initiative of connecting with the Dream Academy or the Ivy League Project. And they're mature beyond their age of saying, I not only want to be a leader, but I want to connect with leaders today.
And remember that today at Atenea Americana, we are talking with Frank Carbajal, founder of Es Tiempo LCC and creator of the Silicon Valley Latino Leadership Summit. Remember that this and all our shows are at StanfordHispanicBroadcasting.org, and that you can reach this and all our shows in any of the podcast platforms and follow us on our social networking sites. Stay with us. Que todo ano caia neve ou faça sol, vai pra avenida no dia de carnaval. Eu vou pra Oslo pra ver a turma do peito. So, what is next now? Do you have any more books that you are cooking right now?
I know that you are already booking a lot of people for your next summit, and you already have the theme and what you're going to be doing, but I know you also are a writer and that you prepare classes for people about entrepreneurship. What is next now for you?
That's an excellent question. So I have been reached out by Carolina Echeverria from Univision, and she had asked about 3 months ago if I would be a part of an advisory for a STEM program that Univision is putting together. They want to put together a team that not only identifies key stakeholders in the community, but really shakes up the Silicon Valley educational system and saying, you know, there's wealth in the Silicon Valley, but we really need to put the wealth into the disenfranchised communities. For example, it's interesting. You know, you asked if I drove in from Modesto. I drove in from Santa Clara, but I grew up in a place that's like Modesto in terms of, you know, education, because it's East San Jose, and now it's changed a little. But it's interesting with East San Jose, you know, public education. You really have to work hard toward your education in terms of gravitating towards mentors and taking that initiative. And so I was fortunate through academics, not only academics, athletics. Through athletics, that my coach Paul Kilkenny said, you know, I'm going to have you focus on science, which he was my biology teacher. So, you know, in terms of the shakeup with Univision, they want to make sure that I'm part of that that team to look at East San Jose and say, you know, it's such a big part of the city, and there are thousands and thousands of students and thousands of Latino students that need access and growth in terms of STEM. So that's one of my future projects.
And the idea will be to put a magnifying glass in the efforts that are being done and put it on TV, or just work with them to develop new programs?
No, so they have they have an infrastructure in terms of what the programming would look like, but it would be to really identify other Latino leaders in our community that could be part of this STEM advisory board to, for example, look at monies that come from various foundations in the Silicon Valley into these public schools, but making sure that we provide access to monies earlier on. Like, for example, K through 5. I think those are the pivotal ages of our Latino kids, because, you know, from K through 3, for example, those are the foundation years. And in fourth grade, if you don't know science and math, it's going to be a real big struggle. So we want to make sure to do earlier intervention in that sense.
That's great. And there are already a few programs that are trying to focus on those issues.
You know, it's an excellent question. There's a few programs, but there's many more programs at the high school level. Mm-hmm. But what I'm seeing, Isabel, is that at the high school level, the representation of our community isn't there yet in terms of Latino high school kids, boys or girls, that the makeup and the number need to be much higher.
Yeah.
But it needs to come from, you know, leaders. In terms of making sure that those monies are being poured into earlier intervention in terms of education.
Yeah, I heard that there is also a disparity between how many counsels are there for kids in high school that will tell them what to do and how to get to universities, and the number of kids that need it. And they are like 1 in 800 or something, persons that will actually lead the kids. What do I do to get to the university? How do I fill up a form? What kind of universities will be interested in me? What kind of career should I be taking from here on? Is that something that has come on as a big problem with the Latino families?
You know, I had that discussion yesterday, and I included my thoughts in terms of that dialogue yesterday, that it has to be not only expecting parents to be involved, but showing parents how their voice could be heard. And I thought of I thought of a strategy yesterday that there could be a component of a parent leadership programming summit that that has, you know, la voz of the leader of the room, for example, that could facilitate a discussion around why their voice matters just as much as a voice on a school board. And I think that's important in our comunidad because it shows, as we know, whether, for example, my parents only had a third grade education, at the end of the day, they want what's best for their child. Mm-hmm. They have in mind college education, but as you ask, the navigation and the roadmap is something that is really unclear for not only parents, but more so for the kids that are on that path. Because once, say they do graduate with a great GPA and get into a four-year school, and after that first year, our student isn't connected with the right mentor, the right program, it's really, really difficult to go back home as an adult, as a young adult, and express that to a parent because the parent has never experienced that. So I think it has to be a dialogue in terms of bridging, not to use a cliche term, bridging the gap, but it really has to be bridging parents and students, bringing them together.
Yes, it is a big issue, and I heard a lot of people is very concerned about that, how to engage the parent and how to explain kids. A lot of the parents haven't done it or haven't done it in the same place, or they did it in a different country, so they don't know how to help their kids or how to inspire them. Well, thank you very much for coming, and I really hope to see you soon with more news about everything that you're doing, which is very important and interesting.
Well, thank you so much, and I really appreciate everything you do, as well as inviting me as a guest. I'm very honored, and I thank you so much.
Sure.
And this was Atenea Americana.
Atenea Americana.
Stanford, 90.1 FM.
Radio Atenea Americana.
A window to the Latin universe.
This is
Radio
Atenea Americana.
Bilingual house of culture on the air and online.
Su casa de la cultura en la radio y online.
Para la radio 90.1 KCSU Stanford.
I am Isabel Jubes.
Isabel Jubes. Vuelve pronto.
Atenea Americana.
From Stanford to the world.
Remember to come back soon.
Ciao.
See you later.